Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Al Tarasiuk, the Chief Information Officer for the Intelligence Community and for the Office of Director for National Intelligence. Al, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
So I know this has been a long time in coming, and I appreciate you joining us. It's been more than a year now since you've been the CIO for the Intelligence Community. Give me a sense, this has not been a huge transition for you because you had worked kind of in the intelligence community before, but give me a sense of how it's going.
Going very well. My career really starts back at CIA, and I spent, I think total right now, I have 26 years of federal service. I spent the previous 5 years prior to this job as the CIA CIO, so I have some experience at that level. And then the current job I've been in now for about a year and a half. I was appointed back in February of 2011, and things are going very well.
Has it been a big transition to go from a CIO that you're focused on one part of the intelligence community to the CIO where you're focusing on all parts of the intelligence community? Because obviously the CIA definitely has its little corner.
I went from being the CIO of an operational agency to being the CIO for a community that has a number of agencies, 17 elements in all. And the difference in the day-to-day job is pretty significant. So my role now is more about policies, procurement, aligning budgets, making sure that we're all headed in the same direction. Architecture is a large part of that. So it's kind of a step above an operational agency position as CIO, and it's quite a bit different.
You have a new kind of respect for the broader role, because in a lot of times you hear people who work, for instance, in a bureau, and I know the CIA is not a bureau of the intelligence community, but it's a similar relationship where once they become the main CIO of the agency, they kind of step back and go, oh, I never really realized the challenges or the difficulties or how everything has to come together. Do you kind of have a better maybe respect for that?
I do. I mean, my experience, you know, primarily being at CIA and being in an operational organization, it's more of let's get the job done. Let's figure out how to connect wires. Let's figure out how to pull networks. This is different in that respect, where I don't worry about those kind of things. But I never had a deep appreciation for the higher level job until I got into this. And frankly, you know, if you had asked me 5 years ago, could you see yourself in this kind of job? It wasn't a career goal at that point.
You got to tell me why, because a lot of times you talk to CIOs and some people tell you, well, I'm an operational guy. I like to get my hands dirty. And other times you talk to CIOs and say, well, I'm a big strategic thinker type where I don't necessarily know the bits and the bytes. I have better people who can do that. Did you kind of grow up in that operational, get your hands dirty role?
Initially, when I first started, so I'm an engineer by degree, and I did some of that initially, but moved up the ranks very quickly. So I quickly got away from the nuts and bolts. In my role as CIA CIO, I was really more on the strategic side and trying to drive a change there with, you know, enterprise governance and aligning resources at that level and policies and things like that. So the experience that I gained there really does has helped me a lot in the current role that I'm in now.
So what made you decide to come over to ODNI and become the intelligence agency CIO? Obviously, General Clapper asked, but there's sometimes more than that.
Director Clapper did ask me if I would consider doing it, and I thought it would be a pretty huge opportunity to help make some changes. I think our visions aligned in what he was trying to achieve for the community, which really is primarily about integration. And I do believe, and I've always believed, that information technology is a huge tool that can be used to integrate communities of people that aren't necessarily in the same organizations. So you think about the internet and the kind of integration that occurs on the internet just by having, you know, collaboration tools that work across the world, and you can talk to people, and in some ways you're kind of integrated into different forums and things like that. So I think my vision aligned with what he was trying to do, and I looked at it as a challenge. I had been watching the creation of the DNI for several years from the CIA perspective. I never thought that someone would ask me to take that on, but when it didn't take a long time for me to decide to do it.
So 18 months in, it's a good decision, I imagine.
At this point, I would say yes.
All right. I mean, you haven't left, so.
No, and I'm enjoying myself.
Let's talk a little bit about, because you talk about integration, you talk about looking at from maybe a broader perspective. Discuss your role as CIO of ODNI and talk about working with those 17 other intelligence agency CIOs.
So I had a pretty extensive relationship already, professional relationship with these other CIOs of the primarily the big five, big six agencies. because we were colleagues and we worked together to try to achieve common goals. So it made it easier when I transitioned into this job to maintain those kind of relationships. And most of those folks are still here. And in fact, they're helping us as a community move forward together. We have informal and formal processes for how we collaborate. So I run the Intelligence Community CIO Council, which includes all 17 elements of the community. So we meet monthly and we collaborate on direction, policy, strategy, and things like that. And then we very frequently meet informally, whether it's a few of us or all of us, to figure out the problem of the day and try to solve things together. So it's a very good relationship, and we work very well together.
When you have that CIO Council meeting, it's obviously you're leading it, but you bring up the policies, like, here's where we want to go next. Or you look at your strategic plan and say, the next step in that strategic plan is X. What kind of buy-in are you needing to get from these CIOs? Because one could argue, well, they each have their own separate mission, and yes, they're under the umbrella, but you're having to ensure that whatever that next step is applies to everybody equally. Is that part of that discussion?
It is. And I think we haven't gotten into this yet, but what's really changed is that last year about this time, senior leadership in the community, the DNI and the senior leaders of the big agencies decided to ask IT to take a different path. And because of that, we have come up with a shared vision that makes it a lot easier for us to deal with these policy issues. And when we approach these kind of things at the council, a lot of the legwork has already been done. First of all, there's a lot of staffing that gets done prior to getting to these meetings. And then at the meetings themselves, I mean, everyone is on board with the vision and they know what we're trying to do. So it makes it a lot easier to try to resolve issues. But we listen to everyone's comments and we try to adjudicate those to the extent that we can to accommodate their specific needs. And there are rare occasions where we go against what someone is trying to tell us that they need to do.
Now, you're talking about the Quad, or now it's the SYNC initiative, or that shared vision is even bigger than just that Quad or SYNC initiative?
Yeah, it's much larger than that. The Quad were the four combat support agencies that started down the path of consolidation that was not just IT. There were other things, too. But the CIA joined that Quad, as you know, sometime last fall. We called it, for a brief time, we called it the Quint. So another word for the Quint is the Big Five, the large five intelligence agencies. And if you bring in the FBI, that would be the sixth. That has evolved to what we're now calling the IT Enterprise Strategy. And we're all involved. All 17 elements are involved in that. The Big Five are the primary movers and shakers, at least initially. But everyone else is involved in the technical architecture, the programmatics of this. And everyone kind of has a stake in making sure that there's some success.
All right, well, I want to get into that, but first we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Al Tarasik, the Intelligence Community's CIO.
This Halloween, you can help take the scary out of neglect. On October 27th, bring a donation coupon provided at GenerationWags.com when you dine at Jersey Mike's Subs at 267 Kentlands Boulevard in Gaithersburg. And 15% of your check will be donated to the Animal Legal Defense Fund. This fundraiser is part of the Halloween Fun Run, Walk, and Rescue Fair. So come out and have fun while helping take the scary out of the lives of needy animals.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Al Tarasik, the ODNI CIO and the CIO for the intelligence community. Now, Al, before break, we just started to get into the idea of the IT enterprise strategy. That is your big priority. It's main priority that you're trying to get done. So talk a little bit about what it is. What are you trying to get done with that over the next 6 or 9 months?
Yeah, this is pretty significant for the intelligence community. It's the establishment of a shared platform for not only just the enterprise IT stuff or corporate IT, but it eventually will evolve to handling mission workloads, business services workloads, and all kinds of things. So the big change is that agencies have, our traditional models that agencies have their own IT systems, their own architecture, and we connect all those up through, some interoperable capabilities to allow interoperability. The shift now is from agencies having their own to agencies sharing, and over time buying services from this shared platform. We started down this path earlier this year, and January actually was the big kickoff. And we've made pretty good progress so far.
When you talk about services, you're thinking simple stuff, email, collaboration, but also, as you said, mission. So if someone needs a network in theater, as they say in DOD, that type of thing could be part of that shared services too?
Yeah, over time, we're going to address all elements of an IT stack. Initially, we start with computing and storage and being able to manage data in a shared environment. We're going to move to a single desktop for the entire community. So we often talk about our version of mobility, at least now, is to be able to, as an IC officer that works in one agency, go into another agency's building and have your same desktop there for you so you can do work from other places. And that would include eventually overseas, too, in our locations there.
Now, when you talk about the shared desktop, are you talking about the VDI concept or is it the zero client, thin client concept?
Yeah, so we're moving to VDI, thin client. But the beauty of this is that every agency will no longer have to build their own software, if you will, desktop software. We're going to build it once and then deploy it across the community. And so we've chosen service providers inside the community to do this on our behalf. In the past, we used to use these service providers. We called them executive agents. Now we have actually titled them as service providers. So the compute, storage, and data services will be provided primarily at this point by CIA and NSA. They're going to be the two big cloud providers. And then DIA and NGA have teamed up to build the IC desktop. All that will connect up, and that'll be kind of the main portions of this new shared platform.
When you talk about the shared, the VDI and the thin clients, let's just talk hypothetically now. Somebody wants to use Microsoft, but somebody else says, you know, I really need Unix, or I need Linux, or I need Apple, the iOS. Do you take into account that, or how do you stop the rove, you know, someone just kind of plugging into the network on their own versus, you know, making sure it meets the architecture and security requirements?
Yeah, so we have, even today, we have very strict requirements about rolling your own. I mean, every agency has pretty much gotten control of the ability of users to be able to just plug in, and we don't do that. So there are standard systems, standard desktops that everyone uses. So that'll all be built into this. A large part of this effort is really to try to drive out costs, too. I mean, this is a massive consolidation effort to drive out cost of overall IT, but it's also a platform for innovation for the future for the intelligence community. And it will help us over time to improve information sharing. It'll help our safeguarding and all those kinds of things. But back to the efficiency play, we are not going to allow people to bring in Unix or bring in other operating systems if we have all agreed to common operating environment. On the efficiency side, we're trying to drive to commodity computing. The kind of computing that will serve the majority of the IC. There will be exceptions there, but the general desktop will be pretty much what you probably have here.
You talk about efficiencies, and obviously there's a lot of pressure on all agencies to become more efficient, cut budget. Do you have any kind of estimates yet in terms of savings that you would hope from this efficiency drive?
What we do know is that, and the DNI went public with this about a year ago, that about 25% of the NIP, which is the National Intelligence Program, is tagged as IT expenditures or IT costs. Now, not all of that is enterprise IT. Some of that is very deeply embedded in mission and things like that. And so our goal would be to reduce that over time somewhere, and that's not the exact number, but the target is about 20 to 25% in about 6 years. By FY18, we hope to reduce our run rate by about 20 to 25%. And that's based on our own internal analysis, and then, you know, touching base with our consultants and trying to figure out what's a reasonable approach here. We understand that we can't drive all of our requirements to consolidating everything, but we're going to go as far as we can.
One of the things about driving these efficiencies is the timeline, the complexity of that. Are things any easier because you're behind the so-called firewall that everything, you know, you have a private cloud. You mentioned the NSA and CIA as cloud providers. Everything is already kind of in that secure classified network already. Does that thing make things any easier, or complexities of networks are complexity of networks, and you still have to kind of figure out how to integrate everybody and how to bring everybody on?
We have a spectrum of requirements within the top secret SCI fabric that have to be addressed. The way that we've addressed these in the past was to establish kind of enclaves within, you know, kind of protected zones. We're trying to move away from that to the extent we can. And we're moving to what we're calling a data-centric model rather than a network-centric model. Everything we do today, the way we protect information, all that is all around protecting networks. In the future, we want to move to, we have this line that we use called tagging data, tagging users. Basically, fine-grained access control, encryption, you know, at data at rest and transit and those kind of things. So those are some of the complexities that we're dealing with, because every agency has evolved their IT platforms to, and they've been optimized for their particular operation. So the idea of trying to bring all those various requirements together and try to drive efficiencies, you know, just think about the single desktop and the kinds of requirements that you would have to bring in to drive that, pretty significant. But when you look at the commodity piece of this, we're all pretty much doing the same thing. Everyone kind of has built their operating system and their collaboration tools the same way. They all have numbers of engineering or teams of people, primarily engineers, computer scientists, that are building these things for them. And so we decided that the things that we do in common, we should do in common as a community. And that's really focused on the commodity pieces of that. And by the way, all that commodity stuff today, that's what supports all mission. Mission doesn't have separate infrastructures, at least not in general. I mean, these commodity infrastructures today support mission. And so we're very excited about the idea of trying to, you know, create this new thing.
You mentioned one of my favorite topics, identity management, roles and responsibilities, the tagging of data, tagging of users, fine-grained access control, encryption. I've heard in the past that one of the things that the intelligence community is doing, that the DoD is doing within their secret network, is applying two-factor authentication through something like the CAC card in DoD, HSPD-12 for civilian agencies. Can you give me a sense? I know it gets into some sensitivities, but are you able to give me a sense of how that roles and responsibilities is going to work? Because that's probably, at least from what I've heard, one of the biggest challenges when you get to this consolidation of networks.
At the data level, at least within the intelligence community, we are working very hard to agree to the metadata standards, the attributes, the registries, all those kinds of things, and trying to come together on that. We want to make sure that we're staying interoperable with DoD, big DoD, and what they are trying to do. So Terry Takai and I have a very strong working partnership to make sure that that happens. And it's not just monthly meetings with her. It's actually our people participating in joint governance boards and things like that. So that's kind of at the data layer. At the people, or the authenticating people through some system like an IDAM system, we're moving towards robust authentication with full enterprise audit capabilities and things like that. We haven't decided yet on, at least at the TS space, whether we're moving to two-factor or not, but that's in evaluation now. And we are very dependent on DoD for the secret fabric and what they're doing there. So we're staying in lockstep with them to make sure that we're not doing anything at the TS space. They'll prevent us from, you know, connecting up and being interoperable with them.
Let's take a quick break, and we come back from the break. We'll finish off our conversation about the ICIT enterprise strategy. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Al Tarasic, the intelligence community's chief information officer.
Help cure Huntington's disease by coming out to Millbrook High School in Winchester, Virginia, Saturday, November 3rd. They'll be holding the third annual Care to Cure HD 5K Run Walk and Kids Fun Run, where 100% of the proceeds will be donated to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. There'll be awards for the winners and lots of great door prizes. For more information, please visit their website at caretocurehd5k.com. That's caretocurehd5k.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Al Tarasic, the CIO for the intelligence community. We've been talking a lot about the ICIT enterprise strategy. We went through several different initiatives. A lot of them are back office. What is the timeline for a lot of these? Because it seems like there's an efficiency imperative, but there's also a needs imperative.
Yeah, so the efficiency imperative is to try to drive out cost over 5 or 6 years, as I described before. And then from then on, that will just, the imperative right now for me, and my one of my largest goals is to, by March of next year, is to get the basic platform up and running. So the basic platform is cloud computing infrastructure, the government cloud, which will be provided by NSA initially, and then the desktop, the first version of the desktop that will be limited it to a certain number of users in the community, but then we'll be able to scale from then. So over the next year, we hope to have a substantial part of the infrastructure already built, tested, accredited through our systems, and then it'll be a matter of scaling beyond that.
And then as far as the other issues, the storage, the applications, that's all comes in 2013, 2014 and beyond. I mean, you guys kind of have a set of milestones you're trying to hit.
Yeah, we're very focused in increments right now. So increment one is basically getting an initial operating capability, which is what I just described. The one by the end of March of next year, which is our initial operating capability date. That will have all the elements that we need for bare bones kind of computing for a small population of the community. So storage, some data analytics, there will be data in there, there will be applications. The standard desktop will have standard collaboration tools. So one of the huge benefits for the community is that when this is deployed across the community, everyone will be on the same tool. And so the kind of things that we take for granted that we have on the outside, like presence awareness, we'll have that inside the community.
You'll be able to know, oh, Al's here today, or Al's on his IM instant messaging or whatever the tool is. And instead of going, Al, are you there? Are you there today?
Right. Or if you want to avoid somebody, you can see if they're there too. Right. Yeah, so that's one of the initial benefits of this. And then the milestones beyond that we haven't laid out yet because we're really moving out in a very accelerated pace here. Much different than I, as a former program manager and engineer, was comfortable with back then. But now, you know, realizing that we have leadership supporting this and we have the big driver of trying to drive out cost, we are trying to move this in a very fast pace.
You mentioned the cloud as one of the first things, the cloud infrastructure. What is the approach to the cloud you guys are taking? Obviously, it's a private cloud. It's a government-only cloud. Give me a sense of how does cloud fit into this?
Several of our agencies have already position for cloud, we call pre-cloud, or some of them are actually using cloud technologies already. We ask CIA and NSA to come together in an architectural way to provision their experience and expertise in technology to put together a cloud infrastructure for us. So NSA's approach is to take their architecture and to scale it for the community. CIA is going into is in the process of an acquisition to bring in commercial cloud services, but inside the IC's fence line. So we're not going to, so people don't think we're going to plug in, you know, to a cloud service out in the internet. We're not doing that. We're going to bring in the expertise and the experience of real cloud providers and bring them inside our fence line. These cloud infrastructures will be interoperable and they'll be transparent to the user. But in some ways, they're kind of risk mitigators. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And you want to the extent you can, use the expertise that you have in the community to run these things.
So you guys are getting set up for cloud. The one thing that we talked a lot about is the back office stuff. We talked about the email and the desktop and the storage. But how does this relate back to mission? Because you also talked about how this strategy is going to influence and change the way you guys do your mission.
Our vision statement for this is to really, it's first and foremost to improve mission. It's integration of the community. It's improving information sharing, the safeguarding of information and all that. So we're very much focused not only on the commodity piece of the infrastructure, but also about provisioning enterprise level capabilities, mission capabilities that in many instances have already been developed by one or many of our agencies. And we're asking them, there's an example of CIA's developed some capabilities. We're giving them money to bring those capabilities out on the common shared platform and allow other missions across the community to actually use those same tools. So analytical tools, targeting tools, and those kinds of things.
Do you foresee mission having some similarities where you have maybe one of the intelligence community borrowing and sharing mission tools with others? And will this set up the strategy, this cloud strategy, help you guys kind of make that happen more easily?
Yeah, certainly by having a common shared platform of an infrastructure will help that because we can bring the data together in ways that we haven't done it before. But we also have another concept of application stores, app stores. And all these apps will be shared. And analysts will be able to bring down on their desktop the kind of applications that they need to do their jobs. They may discover things that were developed by another organization, that they can use for their benefit to do their job. So it's we call it an apps mall, and then we'll have app stores.
Do you foresee that being among the you talked about the first milestone, you talked about some of the desktop and things like that nature. Do you see that app store much further down the road? Is something that's going to have to come once you have the infrastructure in place?
No, actually the structure for a lot of that, like the apps mall, will become available at our initial operating capability next March, and then we'll build from that. But, you know, along with that, we have to have governance, which we're putting into it. So we want to control what applications get built. We want to have standard frameworks. The Ozone Widget Framework is one of the ones that we use across the community, but there's not a lot of governance around that. You know, at the end of the day, we don't want everyone kind of duplicating what we have already. So by sharing that, hopefully it'll prevent people from duplicating.
Is that the most difficult area of this project, is to get people to kind of give up that, hug their server in the mission area versus hug their server in the commodity area? I think people are more, okay, email, I have Yahoo, I have Gmail in my personal life. Maybe in the intelligence community they don't, but most people do have some kind of other email that's in the cloud. But when you start talking mission, obviously that's more sensitive and that's more personal.
Yeah, and so, you know, our whole strategy in rolling out IT and the planning of it and then rolling out was to build the core commodity-based infrastructure first, and then over time, as Mission got more comfortable with it and we demonstrated that the performance was there, that we're meeting their security requirements, that we would roll more in. And so that's our general strategy here.
One of the other things around cloud you hear a lot about, and a lot of this changes you guys are doing, the shared services approach, is innovation. It's really opening the door to do more. I think good example is what you described earlier when we talked about identity management roles and responsibilities. That's innovative from where agencies were 5, 6, 7 years ago. Where else do you see opportunities for innovation? And obviously, how do vendors fit into that piece?
I think what we're doing right now is a very disruptive concept. It's a huge departure from the way that we've done IT in the community in the past. And because of that, it's going to create a new ecosystem for not only innovation, but also for vendors and industry to support us in ways that they haven't even thought about yet. And so, you know, my message that I've been sending to vendors is that they need to look at what we're doing, participate in it now to the extent they can, and then in their business plans, figure out where they want to take their companies to help us with innovation on this new platform.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Al Taurasik, the intelligence community's chief information officer. Al, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
FCA Bethesda's fifth Health IT Day comes October 18th to the Bethesda North Marriott. Hear from more than 25 federal speakers on electronic health records, shared services, big data, mobility, and more. Keynotes from Roger Baker of VA, Tony Trenkel of HHS, and Frank Bateman of HHS. Register today at fcabethesda.org/healthitday. FCA Bethesda thanks its sponsors Adobe, CNSI, Deltek, EMC, IBM, KGS, KPMG, National Government Services, and NCI.
Join the Coalition for Government Procurement on October 24th and 25th for a two-day training conference, Continuing the Dialogue, at the Crystal Gateway Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. The training will focus on understanding acquisition policy and the federal market. Hear how sequestration, declining budgets, and strategic sourcing may affect what the government buys and how they buy it. Any government and industry professional from across the procurement community should attend this event. Register now at the Coalition for Government Procurement's website, www.thecgp.org.